B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me, too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Snell on 1-1 as Anderson continues to warm in the Rays bullpen. At this point, Snell, it's been a pretty free and easy journey. And there's a line drive base hit into center field. A one-out single for Austin Barnes here at the bottom of the sixth. Second hit of the night for the Dodgers. And that's going to be the end of the line. Mookie Betts coming up. Blake Snell coming out. Nick Anderson coming in.
Anderson has given up a run in six different postseason games this year.
Hard throwing right-hander, 2-0 to Mookie Betts, who lines one past the third baseman, Wendell, kicks off the sidewall. Now here's Barnes on his way to third, and he will be held there. And arriving at second base, Mookie Betts, and the Dodgers are in business. And now there's going to be a second-guessers convention.
And so we've engaged in the Second Guessers Convention. Again, if you aren't familiar by now, one of the most egregious, atrocious examples of nerds taking over sports and nerds taking over baseball occurred last night in the World Series, where Blake Snell, who's dealing, gives up one hit with one out in the sixth inning. He had struck out nine through that point, given up only two hits, was leading 1-0, gets pulled by the Tampa Bay Rays. Not because he looked shaky or had lost velocity or was getting hit, but because, as the manager admitted after the game, they didn't want him to go through the lineup a third time through. Third time through. Big, huge principle among modern analytics and sabermetricians in the sport of baseball. They don't want pitchers to face a lineup a third time because the numbers go down the third time through the lineup. So this is the way it's been managed across Major League Baseball for some time, and last night was as bad of an example of it as you will ever see, Maz, and it blew up in the Rays' face.
So at the end of the last segment, you called it an atrocity.
Yes.
Okay? So I'm going to play off of that, okay? Thought that was a good way to put it.
Thank you.
So when you look at it and you say what they're really trying to do is eliminate the human element from the game. They don't want Kevin Cash looking out to the mound and saying, wow, this guy's dealing, I'm going to leave him in. They don't want him doing that, so they make the decision before the game. So what that is a crime against humanity. Okay? Really, it's asinine.
It is.
It's asinine.
It's computers taking over our lives, or at least that sport.
It defeats the purpose of watching. It does. It defeats the purpose. The reason we watch sports is to see people do things in competitive situations that inspire us, that are compelling.
Well, unpredictability, right? And when Snell was removed from that game, you actually got a predictable result. Right? Like everyone knew what was going to happen, the implosion that we all, that unfolded and that we all watched. Snell in that game, you get a game seven. You can't convince me otherwise because that was a Jack Morris 1991-esque performance.
I mean, I feel the same way, Murray. And I'm stunned that they would go to that length with it. And when I say that length, it's one thing to say, well, Pedro gets up around 100 pitches. We're in the seventh inning. He usually starts to tire. So we're going to be careful here. Okay, fine. No problem. I get it. I don't like it all the time, but I get it. And, well, you know, the guy's thrown 110 pitches through five innings, so we got to be careful. Fine. No problem. I get it. You're talking about workload there. None of the other metrics in the game, none pointed to him coming out. Zero. Not a single one other than the fact that he now has to face a guy for the third time whom he has struck out twice.
Third time through.
So if this is the new thing. Right? I say the new thing, but like they're going to carry it to this degree?
And by the way, just as Maz pointed out, he was going to face the top of the lineup for the third time through. Was Betts, Turner, and Seager maybe?
Yes, correct.
Those batters against Snell last night went 0-for-6 with six strikeouts. Not one of them put the ball in play.
He manhandled them.
Because it was the third time through, he comes out of the ballgame.
So if they're going to carry it to this degree, well, then no starter should ever face any guy three times.
It's rare.
So what the hell do you need a rotation for? All you need is four inning guys.
Well, this is what scares you about the Red Sox going out and getting pitching.
Yes.
Okay, this is Chaim Bloom's team, the Tampa Rays. He is just another one of these Ivy League educated nerds, never played the game, just reads the spreadsheet. And he comes from the Tampa Bay school. So if you want them to go out and improve their starting pitching, I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath. He probably looks at it and says, well, we're going to have an opener one of the days, and we don't like him going the third time through anyway. So, you know, why devote big resources or big money for that kind of guy? So, you know, this applies to you because this is the game. It applies to everyone. But it applies to you because I think you've got yourself a super nerd here in Heim Bloom. I think he is a super nerd. But this is why there's been two misconceptions on this thing last night. One is that it was Kevin Cash's decision, or it was some sort of statement on Kevin Cash, the manager. He had nothing to do with it. Zero. Okay? This is the way the Tampa Bay Rays play. It's the way they've played for years. It's the way they manage their pitching staff. Again, Blake Snell had not pitched through the sixth inning since July of 2019. He had not gotten through the sixth inning since July of 19. Now, in his Cy Young year of 2018, he did pitch through the sixth inning quite a bit. But for some reason, and he had some bone spurs in his elbow, and maybe that's the answer, but for whatever reason, for a year and a half, he doesn't pitch through the sixth inning. So no matter what he looked like last night, between that and third time through, he was coming out before Mookie Betts or the top of that Dodgers order came back around.
No question.
Anderson, the reliever, was already warm. He was already hot. He had been throwing. So whether that there was a single there or whether there was two more strikeouts, no matter what it was, he was out. That was not a quote-unquote decision by Kevin Cash. That's what the three-ring binder said when he got to the ballpark, and that's what he was going to do, and it's what he's always done. So there was no decision to be made. That's what they do. And the second misconception is that it's a Rays thing. And thank God the Dodgers won, because we don't want the Rays style of baseball taking over baseball. To which I say, too late. It already has. The Dodgers do the exact same thing. The Dodgers have great starting pitching, as do the Rays, by the way. But the Dodgers have great starting pitching between Kershaw and Buehler. Not one of their starters went more than six innings this World Series. And they had a couple of games where their guys were dealing. Kershaw in game one allowed only one run and two hits, pulled after six. Buehler was pulled after six, game three. One run, three hits, 10 strikeouts, third time through. The Dodgers, huge market, massive payroll, do the exact same thing. They won the World Series last night with a bullpen game. They didn't have a starter. They did their bullpen thing, which every two-bit, you know, small market team has been doing now for a couple of years. The Dodgers do it. So if you have this notion that it's just the Rays, or the Rays are bringing baseball in that direction, the whole sport's doing it.
Okay, but the Rays are the face of it, Mike. Who started the bullpen thing?
Yeah, him.
The Rays.
I say him. Was even Joe Maddon, did they do it back in those days? Either way, it's the Rays.
Yeah, the Rays started it. They're the face of it, the way that Billy Bean and the A's are the face of Moneyball. Everyone does that now, too. So, I listen, I'm not quibbling over that part of it.
The Dodgers didn't win a different way.
No, they didn't. They really didn't. They just had better players.
Way. Yes.
Yeah, they have more expensive players.
Right.
So, I grant you that. Last night to me was the one that took it over the edge. You've got to be kidding me. He's the highest paid pitcher on your staff. He's the best pitcher on your staff. When they're all pitching at their ceiling, Snell's the best. You had him out on the mound last night in an elimination game dealing. He was dealing, and they took him out, not because a couple of guys got on base, or not because his delivery started to get messed up and he couldn't throw strikes, or he walked a guy. No, no. Just because it came back to the top of the order.
Third time through.
That's it.
That's it.
As if he somehow, which again, eliminates so many other metrics. I can't believe they did it.
So I can.
I mean, I shouldn't say it that way.
Right.
To that degree.
Oh, so predictable. So predictable.
Holy crap.
That's how they do it. Nothing to do with Kevin Cash. Really nothing to do with it. It's the way that Rays team does it. It's the way most of baseball does it. It's the way the Dodgers do it. They don't let their pitchers go into the seventh inning. That's not what they do.
It's ruining the game.
It's a neat trick, though, for all the nerds, because now the managers are just scapegoats. That's all.
I guess that's true. But so, look, two things. Generally, it does work, and I've talked about this a lot. The nerds have ruined baseball aesthetically, but in terms of competitively, most of their stuff works. Almost all of it works, including the third time through thing. The numbers show it. It works over the big sample, over the average. You know, in a one-off or in a short sample, anything can happen. And last night it did. It blew up in their face. I'm glad it did. But over the long haul, it works.
Yeah, I mean, just the Rays getting there speaks to what you're saying.
Okay.
It's a small market team that really has no business being there.
But take out the competitive part of it working or not working. As a product, oh, it kills the product.
Oh, it's awful.
The drama. It kills the drama. Here you have a kid who is about to put the team on his back, shove the bats down the Dodgers' throats, and force a Game 7 of the World Series by going 9 complete. Oh, by the way, the same guy that let off the whole thing by saying, I got to get mine. I ain't going to get the corona. I ain't going to play. Blake Snell, this was this jackass that went on this thing about not wanting to play. Now here he is in Game 6, shoving. And this great moment, team's on his back, about to shut down the Dodgers in Game 6. And we get deprived of that because some nerd has said, third time through, oh, that is tough, man.
No, again, and you're talking about a sport that is losing viewers, losing interest. And here you have a compelling story with a compelling figure and great entertainment. Great entertainment. He was captivating last night. They took him out.
Okay, so they're losing the baseball people on top of it all. You know, Maz has come around on this, all this stuff. Tim Kirchen last night on ESPN, listen to this. This is one of the keepers of the gate. Again, this is like Rochi's, you know, the guy that Rochi prays to. He's his emperor.
No. Rochi looks at Tim Kirchen and says, oh my God, you're too positive.
Tim Kirchen is the keeper of the gate of the sport of baseball. And even last night was even, you know, when you're losing Tim Kirchen, you're doing something wrong. Here's Kirchen last night after the game.
I'm worried about our game. We have lost a feel for the game. We have stopped watching the games. In this postseason, relief pitchers threw more innings than our starting pitchers threw. We have lost the value of our starting pitchers. There is no way that a guy who faced 18 batters tonight, struck out 9 of them, had one hard hit ball, should be taken out. Nick Anderson is a great relief pitcher. He allowed one inherited run the whole season, but he allowed 3 in the postseason, and he set a major league record for most postseason appearances in a row, allowing a run. 7. He's not the same guy. We have stopped watching the game. And Kevin Cash is going to get killed for this, and rightfully so. But it's the front office of the Rays and the front office everywhere that has lost track of how the game should be played. I'm sorry. I give up. This is too much now.
Again, just standing ovation for the little fella. He's worried about our game. We've lost the feel. We've stopped watching the games. And Kevin Cash is going to get it, but it's really about his front office. And it's not just Tampa's front office. It's front offices everywhere. It's what the sport's become. Good for Tim Kirchen for calling it out. So anyway, your thoughts on that, mixing with our Patriots, I promise. To your calls, a lot of you have been waiting very patiently. Be ready to roll. We'll get right to you after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say 2 things, 3 things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep 2 or 3 things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see the fallout from this, to see what the recourse is possibly. Because for, you know, upward of 2 decades now, Major League Baseball has been waging this war between people on the scouting side and people on the number side, and it's been increasingly moving toward the number side, and you wonder if there's going to be a slight swing in the pendulum back the other way because of this one decision. Now, it's very easy, it's very prisoner of the moment to think that just one choice is going to have that big of an effect, but look, we're going to be talking about this decision by Kevin Cash for a really long time right now, and there's some organization out there that's going to say, when everyone else is focusing on the numbers, we're going to zag where they're zigging.
That's Jeff Passan. I wouldn't hold my breath.
Dig.
Look at the guys who are running the teams. Look at the guys who are getting hired for GM jobs. And these effing nerds don't even call it GM anymore. It's like CBO, Chief Baseball Officer. You know, it's all these. It's not even the GM title anymore. Look at the guys getting hired. They're all like Heim Bloom. They're clones. They are clones of themselves.
And they get executive titles.
They are Ivy League educated, close-cropped, black hair, strong chin nerds that generally haven't played. Generally. Some have played a little bit. I was just looking at Andrew Freeman, I guess, went to Tulane to play baseball and hurt himself. And Andrew Freeman is like, outcast. He's like the black sheep there of that GM whatever the title is, that crew, not Ivy League, and he actually played. Kick him out of the club. Otherwise, you better have gone Ivy League and you better not have played. Let's go down the list. Arizona, Mike Hazen, Princeton. Baltimore Orioles, Mike Elias, Yale. Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, Yale. Chicago Cubs, Theo Epstein, Yale. Cincinnati, Mike Chenoff, Princeton. Colorado, Jeff Brittich, Harvard. Houston, James Click, Yale. Miami, Michael Hill, Harvard. The Brewers, David Stearns, really snappy nerd. This is a good nerd. Harvard. The Mets, Brody Van
Wagenen.
Stanford.
He was an agent, too.
Oakland, David Frost, Harvard. Pittsburgh, Ben Charrington. He's back, huh?
UMass.
Amherst. Well, it says Amherst here.
Oh, he went to Amherst undergrad. He got his graduate at UMass.
Okay. Kick him out of the club. UMass.
Amherst.
San Diego, A.J. Preller, Cornell. Again.
Cheater.
Not Ivy League.
He's a cheater.
Let's go down the list. Go down the list. They're all the same. They're all the same guy. They're clones.
Cornell's a fake Ivy, though.
So it's like, that's not technically Ivy, is it?
Cornell is, yeah.
Is it technically Ivy?
Yeah. Cornell's Ivy, but it's...
You look at me like I know.
Yeah, but it's... Sorry. Yeah, but it's considered like the last Ivy.
Oh, either
just
way.
Just barely Ivy.
Low grade, second rate Ivy.
It's more like long grass.
How's it going to change when they keep hiring the same guy? It's the same guy hired over and over.
Pretty much.
All right, so I'm sorry. Enough of me ranting. Back to you. Clement Chelmsford, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
So, listen, the bullpen game is highlighting the fundamental problem that analytics have found a loophole. You know, it's like the 3 seconds in basketball. Just, like, stand there and eventually you'll do something. And instead of fixing the problem, they continue to overcorrect and make rules. And the point that I'm trying to make is, instead of trying to do all this stuff, make the rosters smaller so they can't bring in so many pitchers.
Okay, well, that's one idea, but what do you mean that they keep making rules? Baseball's made almost no rules.
No, I think he was talking about 3 seconds, but I don't know. I mean, he was comparing it to 3 seconds, right?
Okay, but I'm not sure what you're talking about. They've limited the number of relievers now to face three batters, which is kind of cosmetic, but at least it's something. Baseball's the only sport without major rule changes in our lifetime or anyone's lifetime. It's the same effing sport as your great-grandfather.
It's brutal.
And there's no other game like that.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, this thing's going to come to a head sooner or later, and it might be during this labor discussion, because this is going to be a work stoppage. You know who doesn't like this? The union. Think about it. If you're the Rays, you look at Blake Snell and say, why do we have to pay you big bucks? We're only using it for 5 innings anyway. 2 times through the lineup. Most times it's going to be 4 innings. So Blake Snell's going to be a starting pitcher. Not only is he going to be out, he's not going to qualify for a win. He's not going to pitch long enough to qualify for a win. So hopefully, and this is my hope, a guy like Blake Snell looks at the Rays and goes, you know what? Trade me. I don't want to pitch here. I want to go someplace where they're actually going to let me pitch.
I don't know how many teams still do that. Stan in Medfield. Go ahead, Stan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Dude, that guy was throwing stinky cheese last night. I don't know what they were thinking, but I think there's three people to blame with what's happening in baseball now. It's the nerds, obviously. It's the general managers telling the managers, this is how we're going to play the game. Why can't they just use it as a statistic and something to kind of go with their thought process, but go on your gut? And the third, I blame the offensive players, the batters. Now you have this thing called launch angle, and now batters can't even hit the opposite way.
Like, okay, Stan, but who do you think is telling them to launch? Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, to me, it's one group. And he lumped it. He says the nerds, and it's the front office. It's the same thing. That's the same thing. So, look, they've ruined it. They've ruined the game. They don't let you play the game. They don't want you to play the game.
And it's the owners who are hiring the nerds. If the owners wanted a different product, they'd start hiring ex-players and go back to scouting versus analytics, and they'd change it, but they don't. They keep hiring the kids from the Ivies who've never played and can just read a spreadsheet. And they determined that the home run is the most efficient offensive play in baseball, so we don't care about your measly single. you now have to have an uppercut swing because we want that line drive to be a home run. So that's what the analytics showed and the nerds came up with, and that's what they're doing. That's not the player's fault. They're being told that. They're being drafted and then sent to the minors and taught launch angle.
Absolutely.
If not, for all I know, that's infiltrated high schools and youth baseball and all of that. I mean, I have no idea.
Oh, it totally has. Are you kidding? Oh, it totally has. There's Google it on the internet. You'll see how many stupid lessons and training tools there are out there.
Is that true?
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Here's Chris and Chelsea on the Pats. Go ahead, Chris. Christopher.
Hey, how's it going? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I saw Don Terry Poe was cut a little earlier today. I know the Pats ranked 27th in run. I don't think it would cost much. He's 30 years old, and clearly a big deficiency has been the run defense for this past season.
I'm sorry, who was just cut?
Don Terry Poe.
Okay, fine with me. Go ahead. Fine.
Yeah, I told you, anybody who's big, fat, and can play on the D-line, I'm in.
I'm curious if we're going to spend any money. This is a whole other thing that just doesn't get enough play or consideration. Are they going to spend any money this year? Because they've spent nothing. They've cut all over the place. And about the only thing they really did was give Stephon Gilmore a little bump to get him to show up. Because he was on a strike, you know, otherwise he was going to hold out. So, you know, other than that, they're way, way, way down near the bottom of the league in money spent. They going to spend anything?
You know what? Maybe that's what Bill's comment was the other day. When Bill came out and said, you know, that we've already got the best players out there that we have. Implying that they won't let me go get better players.
I mean, it could be that kind of year. I've talked about it a lot. A lot of companies are doing it. Saving money, downsizing. It's a COVID year. It's a COVID thing. Dan Canton on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about today is the first day Rusney Castillo is a free agent for the Red Sox.
Woo.
Great signing by our boy Ben Cherington that you just mentioned. Also, just want to talk quickly. I feel like the nerds have taken over all sports. I would say in NBA, the three-point shot now is one of the bigger ones where you watch basketball games.
Yes, Dan, it's true. Absolutely. They've told you. Yep, absolutely. We've covered that. In football, they're starting to go for two and on fourth down a lot because of the analytics. Yep, it's crept into every sport. Hockey is sort of the hardest because it's the most sort of random, but they are now putting players on the ice based on combinations, based on Corsi ratings and Fenwick ratings and sort of possession metrics. So it's crept into hockey. It's hard to see it, but it's crept in there. But in no sport has it had the impact that it's had in baseball. It's not even close.
Well, because if you think about it, it's really the only one that's, you know, more individual. The other metrics are harder because you got all these guys interacting.
And you guys say it ain't that bad in the NFL. I'm telling you, give it 10 years when you have an opening quarterback who plays the first three quarters and you got one or two closing quarterbacks in the fourth because it prevents injuries and overuse of the starter.
I'm telling you, basketball is going to be facing a crisis soon, too. That one's coming.
How else can it impact it than it already has?
It's going to get worse. I don't know how, but it will.
There'll be no more big men.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already
completely eliminated. So suddenly, if you're 7 feet, you're useless.
Just a real 10 seconds on Rusney Castillo. It frustrated me that he never got up here. He was one of the best hitters in AAA the last couple of years. And because of the CBT stuff and how they calculate his salary, he never even came up here. And he actually, it took him a while. And it's not a great signing, but the last couple of years, he was one of the top. I have that right.
Yeah,
right?
Average. Yeah. Yeah. He was one of the better players in AAA. Yeah.
He actually turned into a decent hitter in AAA and they never brought him up.
He couldn't count. Didn't he always forget how many outs there were?
There was that.
Well, that's a small detail that the guy could hit. But you know what? They don't even want you hitting anymore. They want you either walking, striking out, or hitting a home run. So maybe they didn't care about him anyway.
No. And I wasn't a big Castillo guy. I thought he sucked.
Okay. So. One more segment of your wonderful phone calls after the update here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the third time through, and the third time
doesn't make any sense. It's the sixth inning. He's got 73 pitches.
If you don't let an ex-Cy Young winner who's throwing 97-98, hitting his spots, dominating, if you don't let him stay in, let's just put a cap on starting pitchers. Let's just say every starting pitcher can only throw six innings, because there's certain guys that you should give a leash to. Blake Snell was that guy tonight. You give him that leash. And if I'm a hitter and you saw it, Mookie Betts, first at bat, double down the line. Yep. I am dancing because Blake Snell's out of that game.
Yep. But the nerd doesn't see that. The nerd just sees the averages on a spreadsheet of what a pitcher does the third time through. He doesn't care about momentum or the psychological part of it. The nerd doesn't even consider that. He doesn't even know it. He just knows what the average is on the spreadsheet.
Correct.
That's all he knows.
Takes the human element entirely out.
So everyone has been uniformly ripping this decision. And it wasn't even Kevin Cash's decision, just this approach by the Rays. Which leads, by the way, to the email of the day.
It's the Moncast email of the day!
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
I don't need you.
And I think Mez is a boob.
The Moncast email of the day! Send one to Felga at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the Day is protected by Mimecast, the number one cloud email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Safeguard your organization against phishing and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E. Relentless protection, resilient world is Mimecast.com. Steve writes in, guys, I have never seen such an unbelievable example of not just you guys, but everyone having the most amazing selective memory when it comes to Blake Snell last night. He writes, Grady Little literally got fired for one decision and one decision alone, leaving Pedro in. The analytics 100% told Grady that Pedro's opposing batting average skyrocketed after pitch 112, and he blatantly told the nerds at that time to F you. And how did that work out for him? Signed, Steve. So
true.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely true. But I would also tell you that that's, you know, the circumstances there were a little bit different. It was seven innings. It was 100 pitches. You know, Pedro wasn't the
112.
Same. 112. Okay, Pedro wasn't at his peak physically like this guy is. You know, I mean, there are a million variables that aren't the same. And also, I would tell you that the Red Sox had a bullpen that, while they were good in that series, had been a train wreck all year long. So there were, you know, things that affected his decision. And by the way, I'm not telling you Grady was right.
Well, but by the way, it is true that, I mean, I thought the whole reason he got fired, not just that he blew that decision, but they told him, and the Sox had really started to nerd up at this time. That was, Theo was there, right?
Yep.
Okay, so they had really started to, you know, ramp up the nerding. And so they would hand Grady Little the three-ring binders, and apparently he would ignore them because he's an old-school baseball guy.
Well, and I think they specifically had a meeting before Game 7 that night and told him 95 pitches and he's out.
Okay, so there you go, because the analytics show or whatever, and he went with his gut in the key moment. True. Okay, little different than last night.
Yeah, so again, to me, the thing that makes last night different is the extreme. Like, I would describe the Pedro thing as, a run-of-the-mill late-inning decision. It was between the seventh and the eighth. Like, it's not like you're looking to get 12 outs still or 14 outs. You're just looking to get the final six at that stage, and the guy's been out there all night. This was an ace at the top of his game. The best pitcher on your staff, 73 pitches, had allowed two balls out of the infield. There was nothing to suggest he was losing it. Nothing other than he's got to now face them the third time, which happens all the time. And they pulled him. They pulled him. It wasn't based on anything that happened in the game. They just decided, nope, the numbers say the third time through he's going to blow up, so we're getting him out. And I told you, I would love to see the particulars on that. All those cases the third time through, had he thrown 73 pitches? Did he look like he did in that game last night? You know, how healthy was he physically? You know, where was it in the season? What was the weather like?
Again, as Kirchen said so brilliantly, they've stopped watching the game.
They're just eliminated entirely.
They just take the number.
Right, and that's what their logic is entirely based on, is we don't want the human element in it. Well, that's fine. But I would tell you the human element is what makes it entertaining. If there's no human element, I'll just play the game on a board.
Let's zip through these calls here before we hit the final word. Tim in Tewksbury. Hi, Tim.
Guys, I don't like the approach that they've had. Like when they have these, when the Patriots have these high picks, they drafted that kid easily. And Maz, I'm going to borrow your Towning voice. And they said, you know, yeah, but if his legs don't fall off, he'll be like Clowney. And then they, you know, go down the line. You get Rugger, yeah, but he's Division II, but he can listen. They took that approach with Cam, signed him for less money. He hasn't performed. It's time to reevaluate that approach. They have all this cap space, so why not use it?
Well, let's see, Tim. Let's see. But you're right. They always, you know, value investing. Buy low, sell high, try and find greater value, you know, try and find value where others don't see it, right? They're always trying to outsmart the competition as opposed to just taking the best player.
Has it worked for them?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
not in the last like 8 years, at least of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, but it's been a lot more no than yes recently.
So what I say is it did when Brady was a quarterback. Can it work now?
So, I mean, I saw them do that on defense where I just can't give Brady any credit for that. Like they were like legit defensive players that legit, you know, that they, you know, Van Noy, even all the way up through Kyle Van Noy, I think they sort of hit with that, you know, with that principle. And Tom Brady had nothing to do with Kyle Van Noy. I'm sorry.
But he does it. But he does have something to do with the whole makeup and philosophy of your team.
Well, and offensively, I'll grant you that. But most good quarterbacks are going to do that. Are going to make the players around them better. So that's just not a specifically a Brady thing. That's a good quarterback thing.
Well, okay. But again, now you don't have one.
No, it's true. You've got dog food.
I mean, so, you know, it's one thing to be able to say, well, we can patch it here and we can do this. And maybe we're not great on defense, but our quarterback is so good that we're going to win the game anyway.
Brady gave him that great luxury, made him look like geniuses. We buy low, sell high, and they whiffed a million times on the buy low guy. But what's the diff? We're still going 12-4 and winning the division. So no one even holds it against him. Well, now all that is for real. It's, you know, you whiff, it's going to show. There's no one there left to cover for you.
I mean, he did. He covered a lot. And that's what I fear is that all these years we've been looking at it saying, build a coach makes up for build a GM. And maybe it isn't just build a coach. Maybe it was Brady the quarterback.
Well, of course, Brady was part of that. But how much of it was Bill? Let's see that, too. Let's see. I think that's still on the table. If this is a crap-ass roster, man, with some of the worst quarterback play you'll see. If he still worms his way to the division, that doesn't that, again, prove the point? And I still think that's on the table.
Take a pretty dramatic turnaround now.
John in Medford. Hi, John.
Yeah, guys. So I agree with everything you're saying about the math and baseball, the statistical analysis. But the crazy thing is, I mean, the math people should know this, that, you know, those predict in the long run, but not in a game-to-game basis.
Correct.
I mean, they can't be that stupid. So to me, it's got to be the, you know, chicken bleep managers that are afraid to manage the game. And totally agree. Like, I'm not a big Kirchen guy, but absolutely, perfectly said.
Nailed it. Anyway. I just don't think that, to me, I think these, I said this earlier, Maz, the managers are in lockstep with the nerds. It's why they're hired. They're on the same page.
Absolutely.
They're going to run it the way the front office says. And so, like, I don't think it was ever on the table or it's ever been on the table for Kevin Cash to make a gut decision.
No, it's not. And again, I think the caller's missing the point, too. He says it doesn't work in the short term, which I agree with. But they don't look at it that way. They look at it as it's a 7-game series. We got to win 4. So to do that, we're going to play the odds. We're going to ask you to do the same thing night after night after night. And so no matter who's on the mound, no matter what it is, once we get to that third time through, we're going to the bullpen. That's how we're going to do it. Are you in agreement? Yes. All 7 games, same thing.
This is what we do. This
yes.
is who they are.
Yes. They believe it's the system.
It wasn't even a decision last
no,
night.
No. So, and look, to a degree, the system works. It does. But there are times where you got to look at it and say, this guy is locked in. He is locked in. Let's get another inning or two out of him, and then we'll go.
Tom and Quincy, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I've been chirping about analytics for years with you. There was 2 things about last night. One, the Manfred sound was sick. I could listen to that over and over again. And I hope that Murray puts that in his arsenal. Future going forward. But I will say the analytic part, to me, it is perfect that it put a big effing bow on this absolute S show of a baseball season, okay? And I've been saying all along, and I'm so happy that that decision – literally blew up in the Nerds' face to the point where they gave away a World Series title, and they ruined a possibly historical performance by Snell. Him being the biggest DB in the league or no, that kid was rolling, and they screwed him, and it screwed their own team, and they deserve it.
It's because the Nerds run the game. The players don't run the game. The Nerds do.
Unbelievable. Seriously. Unbelievable.
And so, and then, you know, to boot, the commissioner is hammered.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award.
It is. Every time you hear it, it's like,
do you remember Willie Mays?
Willie Mays.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
How many syllables is Dodgers?
Dodgers.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
It's the plural. It's the Dodgers.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
No wonder nothing gets done in that sport.
That should have came with a stumble and a point.
You thrilled our fans.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
That is the best pie. That is so good. The Dodgers.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
It's like he's swallowing his tongue. The Dodgers.
That's the kind of slurring that only brown liquor can give.
Seriously. Oh, what was he pounding up there? Man, that'd be something hardcore. Because I'm watching the Dodgers.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
Where are the peanuts? I want to watch the Dodgers.
Here comes the final.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Here comes the final word. Jones singing hymns. Is that right?
Correct. This is good.
And
yeah.
Maz attacking our callers. All coming up next.
Boston's home for sports. Villiger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, so a few nights ago, after the Patriots' ugly loss to the 49ers, Adam Jones, Knights here on 98.5 of Sports Hub, declared not just the Patriots' season over, but it's all over. No team in this town will ever win a championship again. It was a Boston sports funeral, if you will. And what usually happens at funerals? The singing of hymns, like this. This
is priceless. Amazing two decades, how sweet you were. But you left with Tom Brady. The Patriots lost. The Celtics and Bruins did too. And the Red Sox sit while they pee. Reverend Arcan, you can take it away.
Not bad. Not bad at all. We now lay our dynasty to rest. We look back, not with regret, rather with fondness and happiness in our hearts. For it's not a time to be sorrowful. It is a time to be happy. Happy that it happened. Not sad that it's over. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
There's a charm that comes with his obnoxiousness.
Absolutely.
What is wrong with that guy?
He's got a good voice.
Yeah. Not bad. No,
he sings well.
Decent voice. The rest of
took
it.
Lessons as a kid.
Holy crap!
Well, the Red Sox sit down to pee.
That guy's got issues.
All right, Maz also got into it with a caller today. This is Maz against Chuck when it came to Kevin Cash.
First caller, Chuck in Plymouth. Go ahead, Chuck. Lead us off today.
He can't win either way on that decision. You look at Grady Little.
Oh, well, oh Chuck, you're so wrong. Would you stop? You're so wrong. No, listen. No, the only people who are aware of the whole... No. Stop. Put him on hold. No. You're wrong. The only people who get upset if Mookie homers are the nerds. That's it. Every baseball person in the world was looking at that going last night. Let him go. Like, the idea of taking him out were not for the reliever and the history, you would never even think of taking a pitcher out of a game like that. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to yell at you, but stop. The only people who looked at it were the nerds. That should never enter the conversation.
Yeah, well, his boss is a nerd. Is that what you're talking about, Chuck? He's got to answer to his boss?
Guys, I just think that when it's all said and done, my first question is that, Maz, did you ever play any baseball?
Of course.
I've only seen one baseball, man. No, Maz, come on. You kidding me? I just think that when it comes down to it, no matter what happens, he's going to get screwed.
It's not about cash. It's not about cash.
No one would have said a word other than the GMs across the league.
He's getting skewered anyway.
Four like nerds. And Maz was the backup second baseman for Tufts. Okay? So suck it. Suck it, Chuck. And I mean, he should have been the starter, but the manager had it in for him.
No, the kid in front of me was better. Which is a reality of it. But it's just, seriously, can we stop with this bull crap? All right, so fine. Cash in a typical situation, yes, dimmed if he is, dimmed if he doesn't. That's not the issue. The issue is there was no decision. There wasn't one.
And that set the tone for the next 4 hours.
I didn't mean to jump down Chuck's throat. But, you know, as Jimmy said, it might have been the Grady Little thing that triggered me. But this guy, that thing last night, and it's not just about cash. That thing last night made Grady Little look like freaking Connie Mack, for crying out loud.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.